Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.
Let's now bring in our first guest of 2020.
Big.
The general manager of the New York Giants, Dave Gettleman, joins us on the Michael K. Show. Dave, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you. I'm sure that the last couple of days have not been that easy for you. So we'll start with the firing of the head coach, Pat Shurmur. Was that your call, Dave, or did it come from above you?
That was not my call.
So you would have kept him?
It came from above.
Do you think that Shurmur did a good job?
I'm not going to go there. It's not fair for me to opine on Pat's performance right now.
So when you say from above, people think John Mara. How much does Steve Tisch have a say now when you say above?
Well, they're co-owners, and they discuss everything.
Now, Dave, the search for a new coach, will it be you as the point man, or is it going to be the two owners?
It'll be Steve and John, and I will be involved as well as Kevin Abrams.
Now, were you the point man for the hiring of Shurmur?
It was the same setup.
Same setup. Were you surprised then, Dave, that you kept your job and he didn't?
You know, as I said in my presser on Tuesday, I had substantive conversations with Steve and John over the last couple weeks of the season. And, you know, they made their decisions.
At any point did you think your job was in jeopardy, Dave?
Yes, of course. He didn't win enough. You know, this is professional sports.
It seems though you've been in the sports business most of your adult life. It seems that the time that people are given to build or change is much shorter than in the past. I don't know if that's social media. I don't know if it's just the way the world is right now where everything has to be yesterday. But 2 years is not a real long time to really turn something around that was in pretty bad shape.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Now,
it's 2 years is a short period of time, yes.
And it's really, to me, Dave, almost 1 year, right? Because when you came in, I thought the mission statement was different because the feeling was, at least from outside, that you were going for it. You drafted Saquon Barkley, which immediately was going to help the team. You had Eli Manning, and the feeling was that Eli still had time left. A lot of money invested on the defensive side of the ball, that going into 2018, you thought you were a playoff team, and then going into 2019, you were in a rebuild. So do you feel that put you in a tough spot? Because the mission statement seemed to change midway through that 2018 season when it was clear you weren't a playoff team.
Okay, well, this is where I'm culpable, okay? I came into it, and I thought that we could do both at the same time, and I was wrong.
Was that because of your belief that Eli still had a lot left, or was it something else?
That was part of it, yes.
Did Eli have less than you thought he had?
We had to build a better team around him.
Okay. Specifically an offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was that your full blame, or did the organization, the guys from above, also feel that you could do both at once, or did they feel, get me another championship for Eli?
It was... Listen, you know, we obviously haven't done enough, okay? We obviously haven't done enough. And I made a miscalculation. I'm being very upfront about it. And I thought that we could do both at the same time. It didn't work out that way.
Now, I'm wondering, Dave, I know you can't speak for them. You're interviewing for that job. I always got the impression that they did not want a full rebuild. Did you go in there knowing they didn't want a full rebuild and told them that I could do both and then put maybe too much pressure on yourself to do it?
That's a tough question. ask me that question again. How's that?
All right. I will ask you this way. Did you fashion the way you answered their questions, knowing that they didn't want a full rebuild? Did you truly believe that this had to be rebuilt?
I thought we could do it. I thought we could do both at the same time. I said it twice. I thought we could do both at the same time, and I was wrong.
But how many teams have done both? The only thing I can remember is maybe the Yankees, and that's a different sport where they kind of they reset, but they didn't break it down all the way. But how many football teams have done both at the same time?
It's tough to do. It's not easy.
Now, you mentioned that Tisch and Mara are 50% owners, but Steve had mentioned that he wants to be more involved. So did you get a sense he's more involved now than he was when you were first hired?
I think to me it's the same.
You took a chance drafting Daniel Jones with the sixth pick. Do you feel good about that right now?
Yes.
You think he's going to be the star that you think he was going to be when you drafted him?
Yes.
You feel stronger about that than you did the day you drafted him?
Yes.
What about why?
Well, really and truly, the for him to handle everything the way he did, you know, in his first game, he brings us to a come-from-behind win. He's won a game in overtime. He's done things that no other rookie quarterback has done behind an offensive line that was inconsistent and a running game that was inconsistent. He is terrific for this market. He is mentally and physically tough. And, you can talk to people all day long. You can watch them play football. But, you know, until they're in your building, you don't know about the mental resiliency and toughness. And, you know, he's got it.
And you mentioned it, Dave, but he threw for 5 touchdowns and no picks multiple times. It was incredible. The one thing he clearly seemed to struggle with as the year went on was fumbling the football. How much of that is a priority, and how big a concern is it for you guys moving forward?
Well, you know, when you're turning the ball over, it's an issue, okay? And one of the things I think that all young quarterbacks struggle with is their first time in the pocket under that kind of pressure with people that big moving that quickly. Okay, so their ball security has to get better. There were times late in the year where Daniel was much better. You know, he could feel the pressure. He put two hands on the ball, moved it around from the swiping. So he got better that way. The other issue is how many times have you seen the smart veteran quarterbacks get pressured, get rushed, and what do? They throw it in the dirt at somebody's feet. Let's live to play another down. You know, let's finish our series with the ball in our hands, not in somebody else's. So he'll get there. He'll get there.
Dave, you guys obviously got off to a terrible start, the 9 losses in a row. And I'm wondering, as the general manager who has to think about drafting and stuff like that, no team wants to lose. But when you guys won those 2 games at the end, one with Eli, did you kind of cringe there where it might have cost you Chase Young? Did you sit there and go, I like to win, but it would have been better to have a higher draft pick?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. What people don't want to understand, which I shouldn't say what they don't want to, what you have to understand, and please, I'm not being condescending, that everything, you know, we're trying to build that culture piece downstairs, okay, and really in the building. And When you are happy about losing, what message are you sending? No, we want our guys fighting hard for, you know, every Sunday or Monday or Thursday. And you want the goal is to win. So, no.
All right, so you're looking for a new coach. How important is bringing in a coach that can mature and make your quarterback better?
Well, that's certainly part of the equation. That's certainly part of the equation. It's you know, as we identify coaches and go through the process, you know, that's something we discuss during the interview session.
Dating all the way back to Bill Parcells, who said, you know, if I'm going to cook the food, I want to shop for the groceries. What if there's a coach out there that impresses Mara and Tisch and he wants to have decision over personnel? Would you give up some of your power?
Listen, this is a collaboration, okay? And it's all about, whatever needs to be done in the best interest of the New York Football Giants, I will do.
But you're the more experienced of the people making the decision because you've been there and done that.
Well, again, it's a collaboration.
In terms of Daniel Jones having to grow, does that eliminate, Dave, a defensive-minded coach, or does that not matter?
No, we need the best coach for the New York Football Giants.
And that could, so Daniel's maturation can also be done with a defensive-minded coach?
It'd be bringing the right offensive guy, sure.
Your thoughts on the Redskins hiring Ron Rivera? You had obviously a history with him in Carolina. You guys went to a Super Bowl together. Your thoughts on him?
Oh, Ron's a terrific coach. He is a terrific football coach. Great defensive mind. He's a leader of men. He's a formidable coach.
Did you guys ever have an opportunity to even try to talk with him, or was the Washington deal too far down the line?
I really don't know that. I just, know that before we could turn around, the deal was done.
All right, let's talk about this team as presently constituted. The defense obviously had its problems. You had a lot of draft picks, a lot of young kids on that defensive side of the ball. Were you happy with their progression during the course of the season?
Well, I think they all made progress, but I think that we lose sight of how young they truly are. You know, when I first got in the industry, we're drafting 23, 24-year-old men who played – major college football 4 or 5 years. Now we're drafting 21-year-old kids who've been in college for 3 years. And what they don't understand is they're about to line up against 28, 29-year-old men who are going to try to rip their lungs out. It's become a bigger jump. It's become a bigger jump. And the college game is not our game. It's a different game. So there's a lot to learn and a short time to get there.
Dave, you said during your press conference you still think most of the game is about stopping the run and having a running game. But when you look around the NFL, there's so much offense with throwing, and you see Drew Brees and Pat Mahomes and things like that.
Right?
Is it the same deal, the game that you grew up in?
Obviously they're throwing the ball way more way more today than they were before. Mm. It's why people will talk about. People will say, "Well, your third corner is your nickel." At the end of the day, he's playing 65% of the snaps. You're in nickel 65-70% of the time. Your run pass ratio is 65-35. Pass being the 65. It's definitely a different NFL. But if take a look at the teams that are in the playoffs, take a look at those teams. Kansas City runs the ball very well. The Saints run the ball very well. It's just the way it is. What happened last year in the Super Bowl when New England was on the 6-yard line? They ran the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, like I said, the style of play evolves. It does, and that's what's happened. People are in 11 personnel, and they're going empty, way more than they ever have in the past. And we're drafting, 6'4", 235-pound tight ends that run 4.4 and sending them down the field. The style of play has evolved. There's no doubt about it. But I just, if you really look at the playoff teams and you look at what's going on, if you don't have a running game, it's very, very difficult.
But would you say that the running games that are successful in the league come from the ability to block, that the system maybe produces those running backs more than the running backs' talent themselves?
Ask me that again.
The successful running backs in this league, is it really more system than it is just their individual talents to run the football? That they throw so well that they're able to, keep 8 men out of the box on the defensive side, and that they're just able to open things up for the running back more than just the singular talent running back producing those yards?
Yeah, you could make that argument. You could make that argument. And that may be why, you can make that argument, but.
So let's go to the quarterback, the running back that you drafted second overall a couple of years ago, Saquon Barkley. Not a great second year, but he did have the high ankle sprain. How much of his lack of production at times in the second half had to do with that injury?
I really can't speculate on that. You can make the argument. When you've got a thoroughbred like he is, sometimes they got to trust that they're healthy. Plain and simple. And he just took him a little bit longer, and he came, but he finished really strong. So we're excited about that.
Dave, how important is it to get a head coach that is really prepared to handle this market media-wise? In my assessment, there were moments in which Pat struggled with it, sort of the tone to get, and you don't appear to be a guy who loves talking that often, and this is a fan base that's pretty angry and frustrated at this point. Is the way a coach communicates with this community important moving forward?
Absolutely, and very frankly, we've discussed it internally. I need to do more. I know that. It was like in Carolina, I was available, during the regular off season. And then once the season started, I just truly felt that it's about the players and coaches. And so in my time there, I think the whole time I was there, I only spoke to the media once in season. And that was in 15 when, making that Super Bowl run. And, Ron was getting bombarded with, the press. So I did a presser, on the field. But, it is important. I've got to improve my messaging. And, we're going to maybe adjust the way we're doing it.
Unfortunately, we don't get a chance to talk with you that much. So I'm just going to say this out front. It seems like it seems very distasteful for you to have to answer these questions because you obviously know more than we do and more than the fans, and you come off that way. Do you find that problematic? Do your bosses find that problematic, that the message that you're sending, you do sometimes come off as condescending to the people that ask the questions and obviously the fans in turn?
Well, if I come off condescending, I apologize.
Well, but has that ever been brought up to you other than me just bringing it up to you?
Very frankly, no.
Really? Wow.
I think the comment that I remember, Dave, was when you said, trust us. Well, we're not just going to trust you on your word. We got to see it play out.
Right, exactly. Oh, absolutely. So.
Well, and then also Pat made it a little bit worse, too. We talked about this a lot, that after Jones played well in the preseason game, it sort of seemed like Pat was kind of being like, ha-ha, told you so. And, I know we're media, we're sensitive, et cetera, but that is sort of the feeling that we got from the Giants this past season.
Well, it's interesting. My wife told me, you can't argue with feelings, and I'm not being a wise guy here, just making a point, and I understand. I really do.
Now, you can't answer all of this because you haven't been here for the entire time, but I feel like I want to be honest. Like I really look at the problem this organization has had over the last couple of years, Dave, is that they were trying to get a little bit more out of Eli before he was done. That was John Mara's dad's last draft pick. Wellington Mara's last pick was Eli. And this team won Super Bowls at 10-6 and 9-7. So there was this feeling of just get in it and we can win another one for Eli. And I really think it stunted the growth of this organization. Did you get any sense when you came in here that there was some sort of mandate, like win another one for Eli, let's squeeze one more out there? Kind of a delusion in believing that you guys were closer than you actually were because you had a former Super Bowl champion running your league and maybe not looking at the fact that he was an aging quarterback that wasn't what he once was.
The Cliff Note answer is no. No, there was never that pressure.
Did you ever think, Dave, that Shermer would want to replace Eli after game two, and did that give you pause when he did?
No, it did not give me pause.
When you started the season, though, I know that you said in your press conference that, obviously Jones came along a lot quicker than you thought, but did you ever think it was going to be two games?
No. Very frankly, no.
So in retrospect, was that the right decision or the wrong decision?
Was what the right decision?
Going to Daniel in game three.
Going to Daniel was the correct decision.
No, if you had known at the beginning of the season, we're going to go to Daniel, and you can't know that, but looking back.
You can't know that. You're talking hypothetical now. You can't do that. I don't mean to be argumentative, but really, you're saying it yourself as you're asking me.
I know, but that's a lot of money to spend on a backup quarterback, and I understand all the things that he brings to the party. He's a great guy. He's a great representative of the organization, but you don't pay a backup quarterback $26 million.
He's also a great mentor. He's teaching the kid every day. And you cannot put a price tag on that.
But getting back, you said there was no mandate about Eli. But when you looked at, and you thought you could do both, you thought that you could win and rebuild, wasn't that part of the misjudgment of Eli?
Correct.
Leonard Williams.
Mm-hmm.
For a look-see, did you give up too many draft picks?
No, I don't feel that way at all. You know, we really have a young defensive line. This was a chance to acquire a healthy 26-year-old defensive lineman with a lot of versatility and solid NFL production. And, you know, we felt he'd be better. Taking him would be, you know, the value was there for the third and the fifth round pick.
Did you think that the Jets or somebody else was going to sign him before he became a free agent? And doesn't he have all the leverage now, Dave, in negotiating with you?
I don't think so. He's been in my office. He told me he wants to be here. So we'll just work on it.
You made some trades last year, and then obviously you dealt Odell. The feeling might have been that the culture had to change around some of the players that you let go, and yet you still finished 4-12. So do you have any regrets making the deals, the trades that you made at the time, letting Snacks go, letting Odell go? Are you still comfortable with those moves?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm still comfortable with those moves.
Well, the reason I ask why is because the team didn't improve at all. Matter of fact, the loss, it was worse. But did you felt you were in rebuild at that particular point, so the record doesn't matter?
No, the record always matters. But we felt we needed to rebuild.
Well, Dave, we know that you have to go right now. You have a lot of interviews to conduct and things like that with prospective coaches, more important than us. We thank you for your time, and we wish you a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys as well.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
We're the first person who ever said that it came off as condescending in the whole world. The first time he's ever heard that.
He just doesn't care. And I guess there's something to that. I guess he doesn't care.
I don't think that he doesn't care.
No, I agree with you, Peter.
He tried multiple times, like, hey, I don't want to be condescending here. I think that might have been a little disingenuous when he said he's never heard it, because I think he wouldn't have had the conversation with his wife where she said feelings are feelings. If it wasn't something that that wasn't just a Shermer thing. That's something he makes people feel too. But I do think he cares about it. I just think it's hard for him to avoid being condescending.
Well, I guess that's the better way to put it. But ultimately, he's not going to change.
I tell you what, he said some things that really stood out to me. We'll get into it. We'll take a brief time out. We'll take your phone calls on that interview as well. But if they bring in an offensive coordinator, they, not me, and I don't think he wanted to fire Pat Shermer right at the start of the interview. They made that decision. I didn't. And when I said, would you have made the decision, I guess he didn't want to get on this. I really believe, and I've been saying this for years, Don, even before Peter got here on the show, the 50-50 split is going to end up being a problem one day. And I think we're right now at the Rubicon of it becoming a problem, because Mr. Tisch wants his 50% of say in football.
And I do think he was disingenuous about one thing, and I'll bring that up when we come back.
All right. I want to know what, Don.
It's called a tease, Peter. I know you've been off for a while. Hey, Ranger fans, keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets. See the Rangers take on the Columbus Blue Jackets on Sunday, January 19th at 7 p.m. Brought to you by the New York Rangers. Visit NewYorkRangers.com for tickets today. Gettleman, we break it down. Take your phone calls. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.